The wife of a frugal, I never say Methodist, Lutheran, met her husband as he walked in the house one night. He was panting and almost exhausted. He said, "I'm tired." And she said, "What happened, honey?" He said, "I come up with this great new idea how to be a better steward after leaving the stewardship committee meeting tonight." She says, "Well, what'd you do?" He said, "I ran all the way home from the stewardship committee behind a bus and saved $1.50. So that wasn't very bright. Why didn't you run behind a taxi and save $10? And that's kind of what stewardship sometimes is all about. You might look at the title of the message and think, as Greg said, over-the-top giving is sacrificial and risky, but it provides purposeful blessing. And since last week was cut a little short because of the church conference, I figured I would pick up that extra 45 minutes last week and include it this week. Luke said in chapter 6, I'm not going to do that. Luke said in chapter 6, verse 38, he said, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together." How can you shake something down that's shake anything that's been pressed down? But God can do it. "And running over shall man give unto you, for with the same measure that you shall be measured to you again." And I believe what Luke is saying here in his gospel is this, and it's a very simple thing. The more generous we are in anything that we do, the more generous we receive. And you might sit there and think, that seems a little odd, kind of a weird thing to say. But I've heard people say that if you need to be loved, you give love. And so if we think about that, you know, and that really does, it does make sense. If we serve generously, we'll be served generously. Next Friday night, we serve food at the First Presbyterian Church in Hamilton. I would encourage you, if you can make that, come and spend some time with people that need a meal, need somebody to pray for them, need somebody to care for them. I know it's not the prettiest sight. But God never said it would be pretty. He said it would be challenging. It would be things that we should do, but he never said it would be pretty. If we give our time, I believe God will give us more time. How does that work? Well, he seems to show me how I can get a lot of things done in a short period of time. But it's from what we do, and it comes from an attitude of the heart. It's just like the principle of giving. Anything that we do will be not only blessed by God, but generally blessed by God. And the interesting thing here is that Luke said, "Shall men give?" It didn't say anything about God doing it. Although God does bless us in a lot of ways. Sometimes he has to work on that man next door to get him in the right frame of heart. Sometimes he has to work on our neighbor's neighbor in our house to get our heart in the right place. But that's what he wants to do. The image here that's portrayed in verse 38 is what's considered a full measure of grain. And in biblical times, that was used to represent fullness, or it was a norm of conduct that they used at that time. And so it became really a standard of judging things. When they talked about a measure, was something that was a given form of measuring things. And so human giving and anything we do in giving to anyone, whether it's love, whether it's serving, whether it's time, but it's a cup of cold water. The same thing is true. We forgive someone. There's somebody out there that we probably harmed that's going to be forgiving us. Someone that's going to be saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't mean to harm you. Over-the-top giving in anything means a superabundance of blessing back from God. God doesn't just, abundantly bless us. I think He superabundantly blesses us. As we talked earlier about next week being our time of pledging, I saw this quote this week and I thought it was quite interesting. Oswald Smith, who's was the pastor of Toronto's famed People's Church, said, "A faith promise offering is a commitment to give a specific amount based on God's future supply." Not what we have in our pocket, but His future supply. A supply of the funds rather than one's present ability to give. The essential idea is that we rely on God to provide an able fulfillment of our or your promise. As reasoning goes, if God doesn't supply, you don't give because it's up to Him to provide. He went on to say, though, there is not a person who is honest can say God does not provide. I thought that was an interesting statement. So three things that I saw here and I thought were interesting was, number one, bid farewell to that scarcity mindset. I don't have time to give. I don't have time to love someone that's unloving. I don't have time to do this or do that for someone. Think on what God can do as far as His superabundant provision in our life. Base our promises upon God's promises. We want to focus on God's limitless ability to provide for us and to watch over us and to take care of us. And the third thing was extend the limits of your spiritual comfort. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Anybody that doesn't think we are can deal with some kind of sickness, can deal with some type of relationship problem, can deal with some type of issue at work and think, this is a battle. And God will continue to protect and watch over those that are in battle. John Wesley once was approached by one of his parishioners and said, "If only I could preach like you, Mr. Wesley," he said, "I would be happy and fulfilled." Wesley's response to him was, "Go read the third chapter of Nehemiah and learn that he who repaired the dung gate was counted as much honor as he who worked on the gate of the fountain." And then he goes on to say, "All did their bit. You and I can do more." Does it make any difference what we do? We are to do it. Nehemiah rebuilt the rebuilt the gate, the wall around Jerusalem. I got that with the Moses rebuilding the tabernacle confused. But he was rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem that had been torn down. And there's a great principle of stewardship here that we sometimes may not think about. He rebuilt the wall in 52 days. And it's amazing when you... And I would encourage... Nehemiah is a really short book, but pick it up, read it this week. The Old Testament has some tremendous stories in there that talk about God's faith and God's grace. But they got so much more than anyone could ever imagine it could have gotten done in such a short period of time. People came together. They shared their resources. They committed themselves to the task, and in spite of the criticism of a guy by the name of Sanballat, who criticized all they were doing and criticized everything that they were doing, criticized their efforts, and told them they were foolish to do this, they still built it in 52 days. They faced challenges, they faced obstacles, they faced different issues that went on, but it's what I call constructive collection and contribution. that they were able to get these done. Here's a takeaway. Intensify our prayer life. Expect differently when you do right. It's crucial to keep on thinking about the open door, not the problems in front of me or not those who oppose me. But think about the open door. I mentioned last week at their church conference, there's been, you know, a couple families leave the church. They, you know, for different reasons. But I'm not concentrating on them. I'm concentrating on the open door of Ross Community. I went to a drug addiction meeting last Tuesday evening, which was really quite informative of what can be done to try to arrest this problem of drugs here in Ross. And when you look at the statistics and you look, I didn't realize that a grain of carfentanil the size of a grain of salt can kill a human being. I didn't know that. I came away from there with a different outlook on people that are addicted. I know them. You know them. Expect differently when we do things right. Expect God to be there. William Borden, we've all heard of Borden's Dairy. I think it was, what, Elsie the cow? Cute cow, remind me of the Chick-fil-A cow. But we remember Borden's, and William Borden had an opportunity to become the heir apparent to Borden Dairy, near the conglomerate of stuff that they owned and everything, but he had other ideas. He graduated from high school and traveled around the world, and in that year that he spent traveling, he saw people that lived in complete desolation. He was amazed at how people existed and what they existed with. And so he decided to forsake the family fortune and become a missionary. And in his Bible, he wrote two words, no reserves. And so upon returning, he entered Yale, graduated from Yale, and went on to attend seminary at Princeton, where he had approximately 1,000 of the 1,300 students there involved in a Bible study. And in his Bible, after he passed away, they saw the two words written, no retreats. He moved to Cairo, Egypt, and was stricken with spinal meningitis and died at the age of 25. They found two words written in his Bible again. No regrets. It's amazing at 25 you can have no regrets. He had written those words to signify the spiritual blessing that he had received. Giving on purpose begins with living on purpose. Having a reason, it's a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of the wallet. I don't care what anybody tells you. Any giving that we do is a matter of the heart. Blessing others is a delight. It's not a duty. It's not a pain. It sets us spiritually free when we do that. And I love this one. Stewardship is measured qualitatively, not just quantitatively. Christian stewardship is a first, a qualitative matter of the heart, not a quantitative measurement of one's gifts. And there's a concept in the Old Testament of tithing that you bring in 10%, the best 10%. There's some stories in the Bible of people that didn't bring their best, and it starts out with Cain and Abel. One brought the best of the land, and one brought the second or third best of the land, and God did not bless that. But Paul instructed the Galatians, he said, to set aside an amount of money on the first day of the week in proportion to God's blessing on your life. It's essential that we give of our material wealth, or we wouldn't be here. It's essential that someone gave of their material wealth to provide for this building that's paid for. It's essential that people do that, but it's also essential that we do other things. You don't measure prosperity in dollars. I don't think God measured it in dollars either. It's measured through divine love. It's measured through grace. It's measured through mercy. Consistent contributions are an act of work. And I thought about this morning when I wrote this down, and Wayne and I were talking some time ago about giving, and you can't outgive God. But I would challenge you that if you think you can, try it. And we'll be amazed about what he can do for us. Jesus was in a synagogue one day, and he spotted a poor widow woman come in and gave an offering. And he had watched all the rest of the rich people come in and give their money and give their offerings. And he looked over to the disciples, and he simply said to them, he said, "Everyone gave out of their abundance. She gave out of her all. Hers was a sacrifice." I may have shared this before, but someone said that Philip Wrigley, that owned the Chicago Cubs at one time and owned Wrigley Gum, gave 90% of his to the church and lived off of 10%. We read in Exodus 36 that Moses was given the responsibility of building the tabernacle. God was the architect. God supplied all the material. God supplied the workers. Everyone was there. It was a very demanding thing to do. In fact, at times it was very overwhelming. But the book of Exodus says that they came and they gave, and they gave so much more that Moses told them to stop giving, because they had given so much to build this wall. So when we invest, we are investing in the future. We are investing in heaven. A lot of times, I think we look at investment maybe in this building, and we think about, you know, maybe sometimes, look what we've done. But the bottom line is that, look how many people are in heaven because of this building. That's the amazing thing that I think about. We live in a day when people think that things give them peace, and the more things that they have, the more they have to worry about. Stewardship's not all about money. It's about our heart. Because when God has our heart, He has everything. He doesn't need anything else. There's a story of Peter and John that were going into the synagogue one day, and you can read it in Acts chapter 3. And they're going in there, and there's this lame man sitting there, and they're looking to beg money. He's looking to beg money from them. And wise old Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." So it wasn't a matter of money. They just didn't have any. But he says, "What I have, I will give you." The Bible said he reached down, took the man's hand, and helped him up, and he walked away. And I can just imagine that man sitting there after asking for money and not getting any, thinking, "I've been crippled from birth. I don't have anything. I have somebody bring me here every day so I can beg, so I can look for money, so I can try to find money. Pharisees pass me every day. Theologians pass me every day. Priests pass me every day." And a fisherman said, "Look at us. I don't have any money." But I'll give you everything I got. Everything I got. It's in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. Get up and move. When we're used by God, the impact is amazing on what He can do in our lives. Not only demonstrates that God literally and completely does things, but the greatest gift that they gave that beggar that day was salvation. So we want to be an open channel. Be His vehicle. Let ourselves go. Be observant. Think about what we can do. And I saw this morning in the footnote of my Bible, and it said, every miracle, large or small, begins with an act of obedience. We may not see the solution until we take the first step of faith. It says nothing about giving anything. It just says take the first step of faith. And a lot of times that's when the solution comes. God is amazing. He can't wait to do more for us than we ever expect. He can't wait to do more for our neighbors than we ever expect. I want you to think this week about someone that's been on your mind, been on your heart. And I want you to pray for that person, that God will open a door for you to meet some type of need that they have, whatever it is. I don't know that, and you may not know that. But pray that prayer today and or tomorrow. And then thank Him every day for showing you that need. Don't keep praying for it. Pray in faith and then thank Him for answering in faith. And see if you don't have an opportunity this week to bless someone in a very special way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for each and everything that You do in our lives. We're thankful that You came, You died, You rose again, that You gave us life. And You give it to us every day. You give us the opportunity every day to impact lives. Through love, through caring, through sharing, through giving of ourselves. So Father, this week, open our eyes, open our hearts to receive what You would have us to do for that special person that You have brought to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.